I'm going to begin with prayer, and then we're going to walk through a little bit this morning to explain things, okay? Father God, we give you thanks for the time to be together today. We give you thanks for the history, what you have done in 7 years of our being together at Christ Pres, and we ask you to go before us into the days ahead that we can't see, but you see. And so, Father, we pray for wisdom and help as we walk through what we're going to see today, and I pray that you'll give us clear insight, even in a sense of your calling, that we might be invested and involved in the work of your church. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Come on in. Anybody else need to get a seat? We've got several. I am not really good with slides, so I want to thank Craig Kaplowitz for pulling these things together. If it was left to me and technology, there'd be no TVs and I'd just be talking. And you would go, you know, some visuals would have been helpful. So a year ago, in summer, it would be a little bit over a year, July of 2024, I had a congregational meeting to kind of share with the church where we had been over the course of our time at church and try to help you see what we were hoping to accomplish in moving to our land. And so I had four F's. If you were present for that, you might remember that. I like alliteration, mainly because it helps me more than you. The first was our finances. No, I started with the forest, and I showed a picture of the land, and then I talked about the finances, and then I talked about a feasibility study that we engaged in to try to figure out what we thought we could raise by way of funding, and then I talked about the future. And the end result of the feasibility study is that we had determined that we were not going to be able to, in that moment, a year ago, jump to the land and get started. So we were going to spend the year investing and looking for a place to rent in Auburn that would serve as a temporary, long-term solution to the blessing of having a full house. And so in the end of that, we were investigating throughout the course of the fall and even into the spring for places. And if you know anything about real estate in Auburn, those things just dropped away over and over again. And so if you know anything about God, then you know it's not always just a real estate market that's telling you something. You can actually read His providence through the way that He ordains and superintends circumstances. So this is what you would have seen a year ago when I talked about things. We showed this particular slide. And what I began by explaining was that we purchased the property, 36 acres on North College Street, for $4.8 million. And by June of 2023, we had sold off 16 acres, leaving us with 20 acres. And then this part of the graph is essentially this drop of paying down the debt, but it's zoomed in so that you can actually see it was a pretty radical move from $2.1 million down to, in summer of last year, $1.3 million. So I say that because I actually wanted you to see that, and remember, we were actually very excited about being paid down to $1.3 million. Today, if you look at our bulletin, the amount of money that we owe on the land is a little over $800,000. And you should know that just from finances that we have always been very cautious and very careful. The Lord has put wiser people with resources around me, and I'm so thankful for that. And in so doing, there's ways that we could even now show the number dropping because we have lots of money put away. When I say lots of money, there's a few hundred thousand dollars put away already. But here's what I want you to recognize. Coming to the end of that year, it was really obvious to our session that we were not going to be able to find what you might call a temporary fix for 3 to 5 years to put us in a rental space. So we began to pray and think about how we might move ahead without a temporary spot. I have been so thankful for the Alumni Center for 7 years. This has been such a blessing to us. And truthfully, this is the spot that the Lord has provided for us for these 7 years. And we have Sunday school. We figured out ways through the gifts of God, the wisdom of the people He's put around me, to find places for Sunday school and nursery and all those things. But we began to talk about what we might do in order to help us spring to the land. And we began to talk with a consulting firm called Generis out of Atlanta. Our consultant is a ruling elder in a PCA church in Atlanta. And he has actually helped other PCA churches in college towns do this very thing. That really was attractive to me because not only did he understand the way that we govern ourselves, our polity, in terms of elders and things like that, but he also understood what it would take in a college town to try to help move in that direction. So the capital campaign that we're moving towards is called Rooted, and then there's a tagline underneath it that says, "For years we shall not see." I want to first explain how we got to that phrase, and then I want to explain the concept of discipleship that's behind this. So we came to the phrase rooted because it's mentioned two different times in Colossians 2, in Ephesians 3, where the Apostle Paul speaks about our being rooted in the gospel, grounded in the gospel. And in Ephesians, it actually talks about the fact that we would be rooted in such a way that we would know certainly and for sure the love of God that exists for us in Christ Jesus. So that phrase, rooted, in essence summarizes for us, what are we hoping for God's people in this church? That you and I would be rooted and built up in the gospel. That's actually why we're here. So the phrase underneath it, "For years we shall not see," comes from a conversation that I had in April of 2018. In April of 2018, Wayne Alderman was hosting a group of people in his home as we were aware that we were going to move towards planting a church. Our denomination, the presbytery, had decided to do that. The committee had called me to be the pastor. And in that gathering of people, Betty Thomas came over to me and she looked at me and she said, "Have you considered the fact that we are going to build for years that we shall not see?" And then she said, with all her zeal and godliness, she said, "That's an Amy Carmichael quote." And Amy Carmichael is speaking about her mission work in India. But she said, "It has struck me that's what we're doing. That we're going to invest in years that are going to come after us in people that we don't know, in ways that we will not see." And so when I was sharing this story, not only with our session, but also with the committee that I put together to help lay this foundation, and explaining that story, it really became obvious. That's actually why we're here. We want to be rooted in Christ, but we want to be rooted in Christ in such a way that we're investing in those who come beyond us and after us. So the heart of planting this church in 2018 was the desire that this church would be a church of adult believers who cared about ministering into the college community and into the communities of Auburn and Opelika, an outward-facing perspective. So I say that because that's still very much the heart of what we care about at Christ Presbyterian Church. The Lord has strategically given us a spot for all this time right across from campus. Some of our students over the years have come here because this is where we're located. It's actually a huge blessing and has been for us. But as we've grown, we see the opportunities that are before us and the need for more space. Okay? So this, what I'm about to show you then is, if you're a member, there's a packet with your family's name on it in the lobby. You can get that packet as you leave Sunday school today. If you're not a member and you're here, first of all, I'm so glad you're here. If you would like to receive the same information, all you have to do is fill out a little information pad that we have out there, and they can get you all of this same information. But I'm going to walk through this because you heard me say the heart of this is discipleship. And here's why I say that. I can't make money come out of your pockets. I can barely make money come out of my own pockets, okay? I can't produce money on a tree. My job as a pastor is to help you grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I recognize that when we're talking about stewardship of God's resources, we're talking about essentially growing in this particular area of God's grace. So I'm going to use this phrase several times, not just today, but in the future, and I want you to think about this. We are not primarily on a financial journey with some spiritual implications. All of us are, in essence, on a spiritual journey that has financial implications. So you think very differently when you begin to think that way. Your whole life on this earth, united to Jesus Christ, is about a spiritual journey. That's the only thing that I can invest in you. But the Lord can do the work that He needs to do in my heart and your heart to grow you in this particular area. Rooted is a generosity initiative with the goal of building a church home on our 20 acres on North College Street. That's actually why we're doing this, right? But I would not want to sacrifice, that would be mercenary, I would say, to simply say, all I care about is getting us to North College Street. That's not what your session cares about. This has to be about discipleship. So there's a table of contents of things that you're going to see in the booklet. We'll pass over that. Somebody told me I had a face for radio. That was a little bit hurtful, but I've leaned into it. This is the story of our church. The seeds were planted. If you get the tree images, I don't know if you know this, but oak trees are kind of a cool symbol in Auburn. The seeds were planted for Christ Pres in 2018. We began to worship in the summer of 2018. In 2020, our first elders were elected. I was officially called as the pastor of the church. In our form of church government, a plant becomes a self-governing church when you have qualified elders that are able to be nominated and trained and elected to serve. In 2022, the Lord provided this piece of property. We purchased, what amounted to 19.7 acres of land on North College Street, 1.5 miles up from campus. The original purchase price was $4.8 million. God, through various provisions, has made it possible for us to pay the debt down to around $800,000. This is a picture. If you received a one pager in the mail, a little note from me, this is one part of that. It's showing what we're trying to do. We want to be able to build what would essentially be a multi-purpose facility that would begin to be our place of worship, but eventually it could be used later as a fellowship hall. We want to make sure that we have designated children's ministry and welcome space for children. This is one of the greatest challenges that we have at the Alumni Center, and I'm actually incredibly thankful that parents are willing to say, okay, it's a little bit of a hurdle to go to Christ Pres, but we're going to go here because this is where we believe we can grow in Christ Jesus. We want to also have multi-purpose meeting spaces. That would be what you would think of as Sunday school classes, things like that for meetings. We want to have a welcoming lobby. I'd love to have a little courtyard area where children of our church can run and play, parents can gather and visit. Some of the conversations I've had over the years have reminded me that one of the things that's missing, and you may or may not even notice it, but part of how you connect with other young families when you're young and you have children is that you are standing there and you're visiting while your kids are playing. They're off enjoying the beauty of the land, and you're sitting there visiting and you get to know people that way. I think that's a really important part of what we probably need at Christ Pres. Want to also put our offices there on site and multiple nursery classrooms. That's a rough sketch of what we're thinking with regards to nursery and regards to children's classrooms. Some cute faces all over the booklet of children within our church to help you be reminded of what we're doing here. So let me say this. You will hear me keep talking about the children of our church, and you'll also hear me keep talking about college students, because both of those are building for years we shall not see. We're raising up covenant children within our families, and we're praying that the Lord would help them grow to embrace the Lord Jesus Christ and to walk with Him as we have walked with Him. And then we're also investing in college students who are here for 3 or 4 or 5 years and hoping to see them move out into the church in other ways, but still rooted in Christ. That's a picture of our land. So if you are on... This is Shug Jordan Parkway looking back up towards College Street. So for bearings, this is back towards Toomer's Corner. There's a stadium over there, I think. Over here is Pick Elementary School, and St. Michael's Archangel Catholic Church is right there. So that gives you a sense of what the land is that the Lord has provided for us. It's a great picture. Josh got a friend with a drone to take that shot. It's really a beautiful picture, and doesn't it give you a sense of what we're doing? It gives you a sense of what we're here for, and what we see is the spot that the Lord has provided. We always want to give thanks to God for providing that. These are some testimonies of people who have said, not only am I going to be in on this campaign, but these are the ways that the Lord has blessed me or our family in the life of Christ Presbyterian Church. Those are in the booklet. I want to encourage you to read those. I won't be able to read them or else I'll cry. So I'm going to move because I cry enough as it is. This is the generosity journey. In a sense, when I'm saying that this is about discipleship, I want you to recognize that to grow in discipleship doesn't mean that you grow from, I've never given before, to now I'm the biggest giver in the life of the church. I want you to recognize that I know and you know that growth in this area would mean something of the needle moving in your own heart. So this is what it might look like. An initial giver, this type of person is a giver who, someone who decides to give for the first time. This is someone who decides to give something and trust God and the leaders of the church with this gift. I've never given before. I think I'm going to start giving something to the Lord and His church. A consistent giver is a person who decides to give something and to give it on a consistent basis. This often requires planning. Sometimes this might be a reason for someone to set up recurring online gifts or become disciplined in writing a check if you're a check writer. But essentially, you're moving from, I give occasionally, to now I give regularly. But do you see that there has to be a movement within the heart for you to go from this to this? Another is an intentional giver. This type of person is a giver who begins by asking the question, why am I giving more to my cell phone bill than I am giving to God? Should I be giving more to God than I am to my mortgage each month? This giver starts to make their giving an intentional choice that reflects how they feel about it in relation to other things they spend their money on. All of us who have expenses look at our expenses and we go, I can't believe I'm spending this on that. And there's lots of places in our life. So for some of you to move from being a consistent giver to seeing that is to go, where can I cut my expenses in such a way that I can actually give more to God's kingdom work? So much of what we talked about in Ecclesiastes, and I couldn't have planned Ecclesiastes the way that the Lord planned Ecclesiastes. He knew far more than I knew. But so much of that was a good reminder that truly, we are not building a kingdom on this earth. We are investing in things that are above the sun. So the next example is someone who becomes a sacrificial giver. This type of giver begins to ask the question, am I giving in a way that changes me? Am I giving in a way that causes my lifestyle to be different, to reflect the transformation that Christ is making in me? A sacrificial giver's commitment is giving. Their giving actually governs the rest of his or her lifestyle. In other words, I'm actually making lifestyle choices so that I can give to the Lord in a sacrificial way. A lifetime giver is no longer asking the question, God, how much are you asking me to give? A lifetime giver is asking the question, God, how much are you asking me to keep? They ask this so they can release the rest into kingdom purposes. Much like a sacrificial giver makes a commitment that will govern his or her monthly and annual decisions, a lifetime giver makes a lifetime or long-term giving commitment that governs his or her larger decisions, like homes, cars, investments, and the like. Let me say this. This particular graph is not something that Eric and Josh came up with. This is actually a really helpful resource that we've received from Generis because they've watched this over the course of years within the hearts of God's people, the way that the Lord moves to help grow us in this way. So the next thing that's included in your packet is a prayer guide. In the very founding of this church, I listed a number of things that were going to be essential for this church to be healthy and to grow. Steve Brown has put together this particular prayer guide because one of those things that I recognized that I have failed to lead in is really the desperation of prayer. You see, there's a temptation in all of us as human beings to aim for things that we can accomplish on our own. And then when we accomplish those things on our own, we go, yeah, I did a good job with that, right? Prayer is, in essence, going to the Lord and saying, Father, you must do things that I could never do on my own. So we've actually included this prayer guide, and it has in each day, there's 40 days of prayer, and it has passages of Scripture. It has, in some places, spots from the Westminster Confession of Faith or other catechisms. But you can use that over the course of 40 days. Does anybody ever struggle to figure out what they're going to do devotionally? Maybe it's just me. I struggle with that. I'm actually really grateful for this, because here's a plan for you for the next 40 days, if you'd like to use it, to pray through not only the members of our church, but other ministries that are associated with this. RUF is mentioned, RUF International is mentioned, many other ministries that we support in the life of the church. I'll read this to you. No vision this large can be accomplished without tremendous, persistent prayer. What's the vision that is so large? Well, our goal for this particular campaign is $6 million. We have around 120 giving units in our church. And we serve or minister to between 600 and 700 people each week. So you recognize that's actually a huge chasm. If you were to go to Birmingham and say, what's your membership like, what's your giving units like, and then how many people are you serving, those numbers would be much, much closer. But in a place like Auburn, where you have a college town, that's actually a big chasm. So the reason I say that is because no vision this large can be accomplished without tremendous, persistent prayer. I wonder if you believe that we actually need the Lord to be a part of this. I have wrestled with that for several months. Lord, do I actually believe that we need you to be a part of this? And in asking that question, it changes the way that you begin to think about your own part in this. Prayer is a huge part of that. If you are at a place in your life where you're like, I don't actually have another penny to give, pray, please pray. If you pray fervently, you are participating in the life of this work. Join us for the next 40 days as we do that. The other thing that I wanted to mention is that we're going to gather at 9:45 to 9:55 each Sunday over the next 5 weeks in the Alumni Center boardroom. So where my Sunday school class usually meets for an inquiries class, straight across there, we're going to gather for 10 minutes. We're not sharing lots of other prayer requests. We're praying for this particular work, this generosity initiative. This is more of what the prayer guide looks like. The families of our church listed. If you see typographical errors in this, I'm going to nominate you to be the typesetter for our next program. I'm just kidding. I really appreciate all the work that's been put into this through our team. Ephesians 3 is there on the last day of prayer, because it brings us right back to where we began with this idea of rooted. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge. And I'll let you continue reading. That's the heart of this particular campaign. The important dates are listed there. We have the launch today. We're going to do a tailgate on Sanford Lawn for the Auburn-Kentucky game. If you're interested in coming, being a part of that, we're hoping to use that as a way to connect also with some of our students and their parents who may be interested in being a part of this generosity initiative. Commitment Sunday, what does that term mean? Well, between now and November the 9th, I will be preaching these five sermons on generosity. I'm titling it essentially Gifts and the Givers, looking at those who are giving in the Bible and the heart behind why they give and what they give. Well, Commitment Sunday is the day that, if you are interested in being a part of this, that you simply fill out a pledge card and you turn that in. And it's not going to be a big show, a big production where you wave it and come up front and point to other people. It's actually just going to be subtle, because your giving is between you and the Lord. God sees all things. He knows your heart. And so we just simply want to celebrate the fact that the Lord, who has brought us thus far, is leading and moving us to the next chapter in the life of this church. Commitment Sunday is the day you would give a pledge card if you're going to give it. Celebration Sunday is hopefully the day that we can announce this is what we believe the Lord has raised up in pledges in this church. So I should say this also. Some of you may be interested in making a commitment before we get to November 9th. That's great. If you would like to do that, you can. There's an announcement in the bulletin even. You can send an email to Katie Hames. You can reach out to Wayne Alderman and go ahead and make those pledges. So what's going to be in your packet in the lobby is this booklet, but also a pledge card is in there. And then also, is it a magnet? Is that right? A magnet that has Rooted on it. So you can put it on your refrigerator. It'll be a reminder for you to pray for this generosity initiative as we move forward with it. So again, more cute pictures, precious children in the church. This is the inside cover of the back of the booklet, Your Impact. Our vision for Christ Pres is expansive. As we seek to build a home large enough to accommodate our increasing membership, our college students, our second home, regular visitors, and our growing community. Construction costs are substantial, but we trust our God, who is able to do far more abundantly than we could ever ask or think. Thirdly, God has been at work in Auburn long before we were planted, and will continue to be at work in the years that we shall not see. We desire simply to work alongside Him unto this end, that we be formed into a joyful and generous people for the glory of God and for the good of Auburn. This is the defining time in the life of our church family. Our hope is that this campaign becomes far more than a project about money. It's an invitation to take part in God's work in Auburn, even into the years we shall not see. Before I get to the next steps, I just would simply drive home the heart of this. I received a phone call that the temporary session was interested in talking to me about planting a church in Auburn in the fall of 2017. And my heart leapt. I was so delighted because this was a vision that I could so clearly see and care about investing in. And it floored me when I arrived how many people came forward to say, we want to be a part of this work. And many of them were leaving places that had nice nurseries and lots of services. And they were coming to sit in places like this. Many were coming who had not even been in church for a while. And so I just remember the great comfort and the encouragement that I sensed as a pastor to say, the people who are here are people who the Lord's provided to share in this vision and this mission. I consider that chapter one of the life of the book that the Lord is writing here. And so as we turn the page to chapter two, you recognize 7 years, that's a long, beautiful chapter. And what the Lord has done. If you'd have told me when I pastored a small church in Mississippi, the way the Lord would bring people to care about this work, I would have been amazed. And so all I do is just praise God for what He has done in that. Our next steps, I should mention, we're asking all who love the ministry of Christ Pres Auburn to pray regularly and fervently for this endeavor. Take a few minutes each day using our prayer guide. I really do want to encourage you. It's an opportunity for your own growth in discipleship. The reason Jesus tells us to pray for our enemies is because what happens when we pray for our enemies is our heart moves towards our enemies. So this is not our enemy. This is the ministry of Christ Pres. This is your friend. All the more you pray for something that is your heartbeat. And when you pray for that, what happens is your heart moves towards it. That's the reason Jesus tells us to pray that way. Decide how you're able to make a financial commitment that's over and above your regular giving. So the tithe in the Bible is the tenth of our income. And so what we're saying is that in order to move in this direction, we would need to be having those who could give over and above their tithe and to give with a sacrificial generosity to this work. One-time year-end gifts as we approach the year's end, monthly gifts over a three-year period, non-cash gifts, stocks, securities, other assets. You can talk with Wayne Alderman, others who are involved in this campaign to help with particular assets that are different from normal cash gifts. Participate in the life of the church as much as you are able in this season. Commit to hearing every Rooted sermon in October and November. Join a Digging Deeper small group to further connect with other members as we consider our future together, fueled by one another's generosity. It's not an accident that we didn't stop digging deeper as we moved into this season. Digging deeper is intergenerational discussions, talking through this. And so I really believe that if you're connected and involved in that way, you're going to be blessed and grow by hearing from other believers as they think through this. This is a picture of what the commitment card looks like, and it shows monthly pledges, yearly pledges, and a three-year pledge total. The reason for this is to show you, if you give a little bit over your tithe, there's $125, a little bit over my tithe, it actually makes a very big difference. There's $1,500, there's $4,500 in the course of 3 years. Here's the other thing I want you to know about this capital campaign. It is a three-year commitment, but you're essentially, if end of year matters in your income, this is four end of year opportunities to give to the Lord. You'll see on the commitment card our prayerful consideration. We're going to participate. This is what our contribution looks like. There's a spot also. At this time, I or we cannot contribute, but we will pray for the campaign. I want to encourage you, if you're a member of Christ Pres, if you're not a member of Christ Pres, you can still fill one of these out. But I would encourage you to fill one out even if you are not able to participate at this time. Because it's in essence, you're putting in writing, I promise to be one who prays. And it's the same heart that's behind making vows. It's the same heart that's behind when you walk down an aisle and you exchange rings and you say, I promise in covenant. This is in some ways a commitment to actually be a part of this work. Whether you can give or you cannot give, you still are giving by investing in the Lord's kingdom in prayer. Let me see where we are. Okay. So here's where I'll leave us. You will have heard me speak about a building at very, very high level. I could see somebody saying, well, can you show me pictures of the building? And the answer to that question is no, because we don't have it yet. The reason we don't have it yet is because we must figure out what the Lord provides. And then from there, we want to make sure that we use the Lord's resources in a way that's consistent with what He's provided. Do you see how that's actually wise stewardship? So we're not stepping beyond, we're trusting the Lord. Will you provide, Lord? Then as He provides, we will begin to move that forward as well. The last thing I'll mention to you, as I mentioned, 120 roughly giving units within our church. We consider that, and every church would know this, right? If you're going to move forward in a campaign like this, it's the heart of God's people in that church that must be committed first. I do recognize that because we minister to students from other places, that there may be others who are interested in being a part of that. And we intend to talk to some of those people in more detail down the road. But we know that the heart of this begins at home. It begins right here within our church family. And so I just want to ask you to prayerfully consider being a part of this work.